As we are recording this podcast in Chico, California, and are employed by the university, we acknowledge and are mindful that CSU Chico stands on lands that were originally occupied by the first people of this area, and we recognize the Machupta and their distinctive spiritual relationship with this land and the waters that run through campus. We are humbled that our campus resides upon sacred lands that once sustained the Machupta people for centuries.
But you know that things aren't quite like that.
Hello, welcome to episode 3.5. And you know, if you've listened, you've heard our intro song we've been using for the last few episodes. Today, we are in for a very special episode. We have as our guest today, none other than the one and only Johnny Walls. He's our musician that wrote and sang that song, recorded it, did all of the work on his own for that song for the most part. But Johnny Walls also goes by Ivan Paredes. Or you could say Ivan Paredes goes by Johnny Walls. However you met him, you never know which one you met first, right? But I'm Josh Whittinghill, along with the amazing co-host, Teresa A. Hernandez.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our first episode.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks, Josh. How are you doing, Ivan?
I'm doing great. I'm excited for this this little interview episode, whatnot.
I am too. I'm excited to get to know you, a little bit more about you. So, like our listeners, it's going to be my first time. Second time meeting him, but my first time kind of hearing about him, his music, and kind of more of a story. So I'm excited to learn more about you along with our students and or faculty, staff, listeners, whoever's tuning in. And I can't wait to get started.
Yes, so the other day, Teresa, you and I were kind of brainstorming. We've gone through looking at dozens and dozens of possible royalty-free things for music. And then out of the blue somewhere, I got hit in the head with like, oh, reach out to Ivan, see what he's up to. So I played some of the music and we found a couple of tracks we were both excited about. And I think it was during our meeting, we actually called Ivan. He answered his phone in the middle of doing this day job of parenting. And
you got lucky, dude. I usually don't pick up random phone calls, but it says it was a 530 number. And I was like, you know what? It's probably somebody I know. So I just picked it up.
Well, that's great. We were really excited that you answered. And, oh, that's great. So it just worked out. And then all of a sudden, we said, hey, let's see if Ivan wants to come on the show. And boom, of course, right away, he said yes. Being a musician and in the recording arts industry and just excited about some of these new platforms and things that are happening with him personally and also for in the career field that he's working in. But before we jump right into it, we want to remind people what First Generation One of Many podcast, what our mission is. And is our mission and our goals are to create an archive of discussions with and about first generation student experiences in and out of the classroom. We hope to continue raising awareness and understanding to provide voice for students and alum, as well as present resources for faculty, staff, and other students who are working for and collaborating with first-generation college students. All right, so let's jump right into it then. Ivan, oh man, I remember the first day I met you. You came into Summer Bridge. You were here as a first-year student. The year, I can't remember, was it 2003 or 2?
2001.
One even, oh my gosh, okay,
but it was. I think it was closer to 2002.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
Okay, and from the very first day, Ivan would not stop, or he couldn't even control his energy and excitement about getting into the world of music. I mean, just, he came to college, he knew, this is what I want to do. So I wanted to share that because that was just, I mean, his energy all the time. And he couldn't even hear, he could barely even control himself sometimes. He'd be so excited just in talking about that he was actually now finally in a place as a college student to start to explore music and learn more about it and just move on. He just wanted to graduate in like 4 days and be working in the industry. So Ivan, can you tell us a little bit about your backstory and maybe I should do that first. Maybe I should read the bio that you sent to us. Maybe that would be a good place for us to go through. So our guest, like I mentioned, Ivan Paredes, AKA Johnny Walls, is a music artist and producer and instructor. He currently resides in San Jose, California. He was born in Mexicali, Baja, Mexico, and soon moved to the States, fleeing from an abusive father. His early life was full of struggle and he moved a lot, but an AVID course in seventh grade changed his life. He realized that education was the key to get out of this bad dream he was living in. Ivan found his voice through music, poetry, and free writing while a student at Chico State. So if you can expand on that, I know Teresa mentioned she's excited to hear about your story, and I always like to hear it from you. So tell us a little bit of your background of prior to becoming a college student.
So I lived in a single parent home. Like I mentioned in my bio, I moved a lot. I grew up with four older brothers, so I basically got to see, you know, drug, sex, and rock and roll at a very young age. So even though I was a late bloomer, like, you know, when it comes to, like, you know, me being an adolescent into teen, I was super mature in the head because ever since I was a little kid, I was seeing a lot of very real life experiences, you know, that happening to my mom as a single parent. And then also my older brothers, you know, going through a lot. I like I said, it's kind of, bios are kind of rough because I feel sometimes I don't want to, like, you know, kind of give people the reality of what I went through. It wasn't all bad, you know, because there was a lot of values and stuff like that my mom instilled and my mom's family instilled. But the reality is that I was a first generation, you know, immigrant, and going through a lot of these, like, things. I lived through all the errors my brothers made. We're talking about gangs, you know, inherited anger, drugs, you know, just things like racism, you know, like, you know, things like that, like just battling a lot of these things. And then just that was my upbringing, man. To tell you the truth, I was always a good kid at heart because I saw a lot of the things that I shouldn't be doing. That's how I kind of learned. So it was more like me and my friends, I have a friend in LA. We talked about this where it was like, do what I say, not what I do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like something that I ended up understanding from my older brothers, you know, and then seeing their errors. It's almost like I was the youngest of five and I could not look at my mom and say, I didn't know. So that's what basically led me to do the right things. I don't get me wrong. I did a lot of stupid things. I, you know, just like everybody, first generation, they grew up in these areas, these hoods, you know what I mean? These urban areas. And it sucks. You know, you see a lot of things you can get in a lot of trouble just for being stupid. But luckily there was a light in me, man. And it took me a long time to give myself credit that I just knew to try to do the right thing. You know, and for me, I just felt like there was a lot of ignorance, like a lot of ignorance in our history, a lot of ignorance in the things that'll get you in trouble, the drug addictions, you know, the, like, with violence, with gangs, and I had to go in and in a quest to realize why my people, my family, my friends, you know, are struggling with these things. And I just came to a realization, like when I was in seventh grade, even though, you know, was like, hey, I need to educate myself. Like, I know I could throw down. I know I could fight. I know I could fight. I know I could do this. I know I could be a bad boy. I know I could, you know, get, you know, be partying and stuff, because I see my brother. But it irked me that I didn't understand my own history, and I didn't understand why my own people were plagued with drugs and not doing good, you know, because I knew that there was people in my family too that were very hardworking. They're immigrants to this family, this country, and for generations back, even before me, have been in this country. So I was very, the border crossed me, and I needed to realize why I was experiencing these struggles, and to give myself a little bit of strength. So that's basically what led me. When I was 16, I got out of the house. Okay, I left the house. Teresa was talking about her parents, how they don't understand sometimes that, you know, you're on the phone. I mean, you're on the phone, but like, it's not physical work. So I had that too. My mom was a lot, I was her youngest. She had me when she was a little bit older. There was a big generation gap, you know. She didn't understand me. I had to get out of the house when I was 16, okay. I started living with my best friend. And then, I had to make sure I had above a 3.5 and I got above a 900 in my SAT to get the hell out of where I was at, okay. And I always try to like do things that were intense, sports and things like that, I was all about it. But basically, in a nutshell, was I had to educate my mind and I had to get out of that cycle. And I had to go on that quest. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, and it's true. It's definitely it comes to a point where you have to do what's right for you. And you have to realize that little piece of selfishness is like, I need to get out of this, like my house. I need to do kind of this thing on my own to be able to let myself thrive. And you've kind of talked about how your different experiences have shaped you to put you on the path as to where you're at now. Can you talk a little bit more about that? So kind of like your education, specifically education within formally, so within school, like how Chico State, your experiences there, even high school, what your experiences kind of, how that shaped you, or talking about a few of those experiences, and just maybe outside, like culturally, like your informal education as to kind of what you've learned, you know, maybe through your brothers or experiences like that, or from your family or friends, or even, you know, people, mentors, especially regarding your music. Kind of along those lines.
Yeah. Well, obviously I touched up a little bit about history, you know. I think one of the first course links that I took at EOP, we learned, I think it was the untold, no, not that. Basically it was like a multicultural and gender studies. I believe that was the class. I don't know. It gave you the real history of the United States. Mm-hmm. Okay. That was a very eye-opening, and it gave me a lot of perspective as to why we were struggling. My brown, black, and yellow brothers were like struggling. Okay, mm-hmm. So that was one of the first. That was one of the things. And then not only that, just being a part of EOP and being around people that were like me, like it helped, man. Because I realized that I wasn't the only one going through these issues.
Yeah,
And I didn't quarrel on it, you know. After that, I started to realize I just need to know the truth. Even now with politics and all this stuff, like there's so many ways to address it.
This is the awkward pause of Zoom. So while we wait for Ivan's camera to refresh again,
yeah,
we wanted to. Ivan mentioned AVID, and for listeners that aren't sure about what that may be, we wanted to kind of touch on that. It stands for Advancement Via Individual Determination, and it is a nonprofit college preparation program that's designed to help students develop skills needed to be successful as they move through education and especially into mm-hmm. college. It places an extreme emphasis on growing writing skills, critical thinking, teamwork, organization, and reading skills. So Johnny is back with us, but he mentioned AVID, so we kind of wanted to give you that explanation to see where some of his turning and tipping point was when he started to become a little bit more focused and understanding of education and wanted to move forward. So welcome back there, Ivan.
Yeah, there was a power outage. Okay. So I just yeah. switched. I just Uh-oh. Turned off the Wi-Fi and I'm just on the phone. So
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you. No. And so you were kind of mentioning some of the stuff in college you got to that opened up your eyes and your mind, and we were able to see bigger pictures of more historical, systemic issues mm-hmm. in place that had been affecting different communities.
Yes.
So if you want to pick up from there.
So again, and I touched up on just in general, like, it's for me, just even going through history in high school and in elementary just seemed really odd to me because my reality was so real, mm-hmm. you know, like one of the first like memories of me when we moved to the States, like I said, God, thank God. We never had issues with that. You know, we had family here and my grandparents were American citizens and thank God, because a lot of people don't have that. But one of the first memories that I have is following my mom, going with my mom to pick apples in Washington, you know, like in a field, you know what I mean? And it's just hard work. So my reality was real. And so it was refreshing to learn the real history of the United States, you know, at least in not a cookie cutter fashion, you know. So that was great. I mean, and then, like I said, EOP was great. And we're going in there with a lot of different students. But Teresa also asked, she said, some of the things that were not taught in school. Well, I even though, like, you know, with my bio, I'm very real about the situation because I'm proud of what I've overcome. But the reality is that my brother's errors have taught me a lot. And they have taught me a lot too, because they, my mom and my brothers taught me to survive. So that is a whole other education that is just as valuable, because at the end of the day, you got to survive. Like, things are getting so real now. Like, I mean, and you know, with if you see the news, all the protests, all the racism, all the crazy stuff, that stuff exists. I lived through it as a little kid, and a lot of that stuff is coming out. But the non-traditional things, or like the things that I learned from my family, are so valuable. And I learned that when I moved to Los Angeles when I graduated college. It was lost. I thought I had a, look, check this out. I'm going to tell you right now. I thought I had a bad life growing up before I went to Chico. Mm-hmm. Chico was like a breath of fresh air, big time, literally. Right. Mm-hmm. But when I moved to LA and the hardships that I encountered as an adult, like in 2008, 2009, like when I was out there and there was a recession, or what do you call it? There was a,
the 2008.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was bad. Mm-hmm. I went out there with a shiny resume and couldn't get a job. Okay, it freaking devastated me, you know what I mean? And luckily I bounced from it. I took a loan and I started my own business, and I said, forget the corporate world, that's a whole nother can of worms. Okay, we'll talk about that later. But the things that I learned from my parents and from my brothers really, really were shining when I moved to LA. I mean, I lived everywhere out there in Los Angeles. I did not give up. I fought so hard. It was nuts. Listen to Life Struggles, this song that I have. It's one of the first releases that I did in 2015, official releases. It talks about all the things that I went through in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Getting scammed on Craigslist, living in different areas with prostitutes in the corners, like, you know, going and getting social services, you know, just to survive. I just had no quit in me. But it was the things that I learned from my brothers, the things that I learned from my mom, it's the thing that kept me going. And it's survival. Yeah. You know, it's survival, not being afraid in a situation when somebody's being hostile. My brothers, they taught me hard, you know, like hard, like, you know, being punched in the face hard. But at least I knew what that felt like. And I knew when somebody was getting to that point, and I knew how to either step away from it or be ready for it. You know what I mean? And so those things are some of the things that I learned, you know, and just being cool, calm, and collected, being in, and then understanding how to be in different areas. So even though, you know, I learned a lot at school, don't believe, you know, but those things are very important. They're very important. They're very important.
Excellent. Thanks for sharing that. And I can, as I said a minute earlier, how excited you get when you share your stories and talk about things, you can feel your passion. about your own experience, but also more importantly, even from when you were a first year student, during that year, it became apparent that you also wanted to always try and help other people.
Yeah.
By sharing your story or giving them information or something along the way. So it's not anything new for you. It's part of who you grew
into. That's why I'm a musician.
As you went through all
the That's why I'm a musician. I didn't become a musician and look pretty. You know, luckily, I thank my parents, but I'm just joking. I thank my parents. It's because it's, like you said, it's selfless.
So you talked about, you know, education and your upbringing and things. So, but you said you're a musician, but that doesn't tell us much. So what are you up to now with your career? After all the different things you've gone through and hustled and tried to make for yourself, where are you and what are you up to now with your career?
So I stopped in LA, right? So at Chico State, I was there for about 6 years. Okay. Some of it was voluntary and some of it wasn't, you know, I got a major in music industry option, recording option, right? And then a minor in Spanish. But I was doing a real job at school, doing events. The pinnacle of my career, my college career, I was at the top of my class with music industry, not in grades, in experience. Okay, I had a budget of $15,000, like three, four times a year. To book a large artist, you know, 15, even up to even 20. So I booked a lot of bands that I liked, a lot of bands, you know, I was a multicultural coordinator. So I brought in a bunch of artists. Before that, I was the president of the Spanish club. So I was organizing and doing events. So when I moved to LA, I had a shiny resume with all kinds of things, all these accolades, things that I was doing. But over there, it didn't mean anything. It didn't mean one thing for me over there, right?
Yeah,
and this is happening now.
Oh, we have a special guest.
Little mini me.
What the fire?
Okay.
What's his name?
Gavino. Gianni Gavino Paredes.
Nice. All right.
So okay. So going back, what was I talking? Oh, talking about LA. When I moved to LA, I had a hard time adjusting to the corporate world. I think because it was the whole like 2008 recession, and it was just hard. I mean, I was paying close to $5 for gas. I had a change of heart, dude. I was at a temp agency. I had a friend that was going through all these industry jobs. I was dealing with agents from Los Angeles and New York already. I was good on the phone. I was a good negotiator. Because all my other friends that were working there, they were getting tooled on the phone, and I was able to because of my upbringing, it helped me be a good negotiator. Because like I was taught if somebody's nice to you, you're nice to them. If somebody's nasty to you, you're nasty to them. And I know sometimes you can't be nasty. You know, you have to, especially if you're like working, you know, you got to keep it, you know, whatever, you have to walk away. You walk away. First of all, you walk away. But that's, I took that to that. Like when I had agents that were trying to be really nasty with me, be like, you know, and I'll be like, okay, well then I won't talk to you, or I was straight up. I was able to keep it 100 to them. So I was successful. But when I moved to LA, I had a change of heart. I wasn't getting jobs. I really wasn't trying to do the corporate world. So I ended up just taking out a business loan and just started my own business. And from then on, I started doing recording. It took me a long time to start making money. So my friends started hearing some of my music from college, my college projects. Josh, you were recording arts major. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I just had recording projects that because of other bands that didn't show up. I was a songwriter. I luckily started writing around the time of EOP and later on, and I started writing, and then they turned into poetry, and then I always played guitar, so finally I started making a song, so I had songs. So my friends, when I was living in downtown LA, you know, working, doing events, and then leasing in an old building, my friends started listening to my music, and I had all this equipment and things like that, and they're like, who's that? I was like, that's me. He's like, that's tight, bro. That's sick. That's awesome. You should play music. I'm like, nah, dude, I'm trying to make money. Like I went to school to better myself and my family. I'm not I'm not trying to take a gamble, but guess what? Being an artist became my therapy.
Yeah, perfect.
It became my therapy. And then I started realizing when I was at the university, I connected to a lot of people from different parts of the world. And sometimes I would get people from different parts of the world be like, what are you? Where are you from? This and that. They didn't. Some people, you know, si eres mexicano, sabes que soy mexicano. Pero hay gente que no. If people don't know that you're Mexican. And so for me, I started realizing like, hey, I got some sort of a world appeal. So I'm going to use that. And not only that, I said being a musician is selfless because guess what? I realized that it not only was a therapy for me, but I know that it's good for other people to hear music from people that look like them or stories that they're related to. So I started doing that. Literally, my friends pushed me into being an artist. And then when I was like heading my own business and depressed and like in the middle of the grind, it just became who I was. It became who I was, and that's what it became. So fast forward 10 years. I'm living in San Jose. I'm an instructor. I produce from home. I have a little studio. I produce my last album. I produced everything. Okay. I'm talking about every instrument, every composition, every lyric, everything. I did it all myself. I don't like to do it that way, but I did it. I did it that way. And so what you hear, like the beginning of the East Side song, that's something I recorded here. It's a remix from an older song, but it's, but the percussion, I'm doing all that stuff, the bass, the guitar, the keys, everything. And it's a blessing that I became a music instructor, because about 2013 I realized that I could play a bunch of instruments. And when I was like having a hard time making money with my business, I started incorporating teaching, and that was one of the best things that I could do, because I'm getting way better as a freaking songwriter, I'm getting way better as a musician, and not only that, I get to geek out with my students. I have some freaking rock star students, man. If you check out JWP08 on YouTube, you're going to see some little 11-year-olds playing Desperado on the piano and singing and doing all kinds of stuff. And it's nuts. So that's what's going on now. And then obviously when I was in LA, I made a lot of connections. So now I'm actually going back and tapping into that. Just like, and trying to work on the industry that way. But basically, I did not want to go to the corporate world. And to be quite honest with you, I'm not trying to bring my violin out here again to you, but you know what? The last name Paredes did not help me to get calls back. Okay, let's just keep it real. It's who you know, and that's just the reality. When I realized that, then I was like, okay, I'm not going to trip on that. Because in Chico, I was very successful with my college career towards the end, because I put in the work, and I figured out how to get into that bubble so that I was being seen, you know? And so once I realized it's who you know, think about LA as in the grand scheme of things, it's who you know. So anyways, I hope that answered the question.
It did. No, thank you for that. And you, I know, so you at the very last part of that, you kind of touched about everything so your different, you know, your talents in music and your different talents in music when it comes to instruments and everything. And as to from what you've composed and your lyrics and the songs. And so that kind of brings me to want to ask you, how has music influenced your life? Or what does music mean to you? And I know that the definition is different for everyone, and it can be, you know, very philosophical. It could be very straight to the point. So I'm kind of interested in knowing in your own words, what does music mean to you?
You know, Josh, at the beginning, he said that I always knew what I wanted to do when I got to college. And I think he remembers, I think what he does, he remembers 2003 when I actually decided what my major was. But I don't think he remembers that I did not know what I wanted to do. I did not know what I wanted to do. As a matter of fact, I was kind of quiet. You know, I kind of kept to myself. And I gained confidence, you know, as I went through my GE and I went through some music courses. He gave me confidence because he was a recording arts major too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, but I was searching, and for me, it was very important to choose something that I was going to make money. But you know, it is what it is. It wasn't until I was a junior that I declared as a major. But music, I didn't know this, mm-hmm. but music has always been a part of me and my family in one way, shape, or form, okay? I was very underprivileged, you know, growing up. I remember being a seventh grader, eighth grader. I couldn't even afford $10 sticks, okay, mm-hmm. To be in the band. My brother played drums, but he never let me play the drums. It was kind of like stepbrothers. Like, he'd whoop my ass if I got it. Excuse my language, but if I got, you know, touch his drum set. Don't touch my drum set, you know? But when I remember being 5 years old and him being like 10 years old, teaching me basic Mexican rhythms, you know, like cumbia, bolero, not bolero, but I think that was a little too advanced, waltzes, polkas, you know, like things like that. So I had a basic understanding of basic rhythms to follow along. And not only that, I was always dancing. My family was always encouraging me to dance, partner dance, solo dance, different types of dances. So by the time I was like in high school, I picked up the drums like running, you know. But so going back to your question, is it was always a part of me. But during the hardest times, music was my therapy. It calmed me down. People do yoga. You know, people do exercise. Exercise is another big one for me. But music, when I had a long paper to do, I'll stay up all freaking night because I procrastinated. I listened to music. I always had music playing in my ear, okay? And you know, you have to remember, you know, I come from the age where, you know, you would download a lot of stuff on peer-to-peer software. I had a collection of like 12,000 songs at one point on my computer. I went through every single song that I could remember. And now Spotify, I love Spotify. I remember something, boom, just get there. You know what I mean? I got my playlist and whatnot. So you said, what does music mean to you? Well, mm-hmm. music, look, I didn't choose music. Music chose me. Meaning, like it's a vibration. You know, it's a vibration. We gravitate towards certain things. And I just realized that it took me a while to realize, but it's basically my life. Music is my life, and it's my therapy, and that's it.
Yeah. And then Josh, I want to pose the kind of the same question, just curious to you. So, and we know that Ivan has his all this knowledge and experience and talent and skills in music, and like hearing his definition, and you also, you know, having like a passion for music as well. What would be your definition of what music means to you, or how would you, in your words, what does that mean?
Oh God, well, thanks for asking. What does music mean to me? Yeah, it's similar to what Ivan was saying a minute ago about, excuse me, music, not really, I'm picking music, but music kind of picking me, in the sense that when I came to Chico State to study my undergraduate work, I always wanted to study English, and because I had a passion for writing lyrics and reading plays, and I didn't like reading novels, that was always the one thing I had to struggle with, but plays, scripts, poems, music lyrics, all that kind of stuff, right? And then I was about to become an English major, and then I realized, oh, if I want to study music ever in any kind of depth of it and learn about it and get more connected and have a deeper relationship, I probably should do that as a student when I have the access and the opportunity to do it. And so I changed my major to music, recording arts, and then in doing that, it was at a transition in my life where, and Ivan touched on a lot of his upbringing, what he saw and learned about addiction and drugs and alcoholism and abuse and these kind of things happening. And for me, it was about, actually at the time when this happened, was 25 years, 3 months and 15 days ago that I checked myself into rehab. So I've been living sober since then. And music was like Ivan said, the savior. it was this whole new world for me where I had a connection with not just the music, but the people around music. And it really changed my life. And I was able to learn how to be alone in different ways, how to make different relationships and hear the different messages that come around, because I was terrible at playing instruments. I really didn't even play instruments very well. And I was already in the music, you know, degree, but I wrote lyrics and I was really connected to that side of it. So just the messages that people made. So music was, and music was and remains to be, you know, this healing source. And we have an episode coming up in October. We're actually going to record an episode and our topic's going to be music and language. So we're going to have some good discussions there. But music has always been that since then. Before that, music was sort of this passing thing in the background when I'd get in the car and hear the radio. It wasn't really a huge thing in my family. And I think that was one of the things that pushed me to it was thinking, oh, my family never really did much of this, but I wish that they would have had more of a music influence around and play more music and those kind of things. And so as I move forward to even further my connection with music and use and understanding of music, as I finished up my doctorate work in the last 3 or 4 years, my research has all been focused on students and people in general, but our relationships with music and connections to social and emotional development and how music really helps nurture that for a lot of people. And a lot of it comes from looking at being an instructor and an academic advisor and working in education for so many years. Not many courses, there's not a lot of curriculum in higher education or K through 12 for that matter, that really help people to look at social emotional development. And K through 12 has a lot more, but in higher ed, there's really very little. And so in researching and talking with students and interviewing students and having focus groups and finding out that students are using music to extreme extents to help them develop their self-awareness, like Ivan touched on, to help develop this social awareness of where do I fit into society? How do I fit into society? There are other people who have similar experiences to me, not just the musicians creating music, but other people listening to the same kind of music. And then how do I build relationships? How am I even making decisions? Right, all of these sort of things. So music is this, you know, ubiquitous, never-ending, powerful, right, this powerful source that can just heal, bring people together, teach stories, learn lessons from, all those types of areas, just to even touch on it, right? I mean, there are podcasts out there about they're just music, and they go on and have hundreds of episodes just talking about this topic, you know. Okay, we've just transitioned from first generation one of many to first generation musicians. No. but you see the power of it. So that's one thing that Teresa and I are gonna venture into. She doesn't even know this yet. I have an email I typed up yesterday to send to her to get her input on some of the feedback before we actually send it out. But we I think just like having Ivan on here is reaching out to first generation students and alum. If you're a musician and you want to share your music, we would love to hear from you, get your songs and be able to use them as the backdrop to intro and outro to our episodes moving forward. Would be a wonderful thing. So look forward to that happening soon. All right. So I know we're running out of time. We have things and places to go. Unfortunately, it's coming to an end. But Ivan, before we go, if you want to share, what is one recommendation you have for people out there? They don't have to be musicians, just, you know, people to kind of help with. You said you're into exercising and music and things, but what's one self-care tip that you've been utilizing? A recommendation that has helped you that you want to share with people.
Self-care. I mean, I've touched up on a few, but I would say health is number one. Mental health and just physical health, like physical education. Like you have to get out there and do something. Okay, I think stretching. You know, especially now everybody's like in front of a computer, in front of a phone, sitting down, stuff like that. Get up, you know, things like that. But Yeah, do it. Like, I aside from music, even though I'm like, oh, I'm into music, I do jujitsu, I do kickboxing, I go running, I do things like that. I think it's very important to get your body going because it's a natural energizer. But another thing is, like, it's art, okay? Art. I don't care if it's music. It could be painting. You know what I mean? It could be poetry. It could be free writing. I would say, what changed my life was not just music. It was writing out my issues, which is mental health. You got to release. So if there's one thing that I want to say is that you got to release these things, because for me, what happened is it started writing. And that's the most important thing that I could tell you is get a journal, write it somewhere, release all that garbage you have in your head, okay? Because that's how my whole journey with music started. And like I told you, I did not know what I wanted to do. I didn't knew I needed to get the heck away, so far away from the Imperial Valley, from where I graduated. You know, I moved a lot, as far as I could, because it was crazy, right? Because that turns into, and it's never ending, okay? Me, to tell you the truth, if you listen to my music, it's hard. Like, I have songs about all kinds of stuff, like, that have, most of my songs are life lessons. Most of my songs are stuff that I've grown up and I've been going through. So the number one thing that I tell you is keep a journal, write something, write it out. And then, because when you have deep stuff that moves you, like, I did it through music, but that's just because I went to school and I geeked out about it and I've been doing it for the past 20 years. You know what I mean? Like, but the one thing that I battled through a lot of inherited anger, and it wasn't until I got educated and I was able to free write how I was feeling, and it gave me a voice. Because before, I would use my fist. That's what my brothers used to use. So it's like, it's not what you should be doing. You should use it, that energy differently. And so for me, it was communication. I didn't really know how to communicate too well. So that's number one thing as far as for health, mental health, like, write, and then do arts. Because arts are never ending, okay? It could be mixed martial arts. I don't care, whatever. Go run. Oh, another thing is like I said, those two things, the art and then exercise. And then within those two things, you need to be writing. If you need to write out what you have in your head, because if not, it's gonna clog your mind, dude. I have to remind myself of that, especially now with this pandemic. Remind yourself of those things.
Excellent. Thanks for your passion and for sharing those tips. It has been another wonderful episode. Thanks for joining us. And Teresa, it's been great seeing you again.
Yes,
thank you so much. And we're looking forward to our next episode four. Sorry, this is episode 3.5. And then episode 4 coming up, we are going to have a panel of guests. We'll have some students, some staff, some faculty, and we're going to kind of just talk and have discussions about what can faculty, staff, and fellow students, what can we all be doing to help support each other and make sure this remote learning is meaningful, right? Especially the fall semester, and as we prepare and move into the spring semester, with that most likely looking to be very similar to the fall semester, with a lot of online remote learning. So thank you again. Thanks for listening to First Generation, One of Many, and take care of yourselves. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.